Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something should be popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're over at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and you know the deal. You went all the way over there. Go ahead and give that a like. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, though, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man. That's a three.
All right, so Dan, we had a little, yeah, I guess it would be not only breaking news, but definitely huge news, especially if you're a Dodger fan and you're rooting for them to advance to the World Series. As you know, they lost what was a close game until Blake Treinen showed up in the ninth inning of Game 1, and they ended up losing 5-1. But, you know, there wasn't any panic or anything because, hey, we're coming back with Clayton Kershaw. You know, this is something, you know, we can do and shouldn't be a problem. And Kershaw gets scratched from the game with back spasms. They're going with rookie Tony Gosselin, who hasn't pitched in 17 days. To be fair, the Braves are also pitching a rookie, Ian Anderson, who has had some really good starts for them. Oh, boy, Dan, is it going to be another one of these what-if years for the Dodgers? Or what, you know, what are we looking at here?
I mean, I kind of feel that way. What if, or how does that work? Hey,
So, because, yeah, it just, you know, I mean, maybe Gosselin will go out and pitch decently, and, you know, the Braves rookie will have a, he hasn't had any struggles yet, but maybe he'll have some. I just, you know, again, I don't know. It doesn't look, you know, like they're in a very good position here coming into this. You know, the Braves did have their own injury. They've lost Adam Duvall, who strained an oblique, and is he was replaced on the roster. So not only is he done for the remainder of this series, but even if he's healthy, if they get to the World Series, he can't be put back on the roster. And the Braves are going with Johan Camargo as the guy they brought up to fill the role. So, but here's the lineups really quick. The Braves have Ronald Acuna Jr. leading off, then Freddie Freeman hits second, Marcelo Zuna is third, Travis Dahnal is fourth, Ozzy Albies is fifth, Dansby Swanton hits sixth, Austin Riley gets promoted to the seventh spot tonight. Nick Markakis hits eighth, and Christian Pyche will be hitting ninth. Basically, he's taking Duvall's spot, even though he'll play center, and they'll move Acuna to right. For the Dodgers, it's Mookie Betts leading off, Corey Seager hitting second, Justin Turner hits third, Max Muncy's the cleanup hitter, Will Smith hits fifth, Corey Bellinger hits sixth, A.J. Pollock is seventh, Jock Peterson is eighth, and Chris Taylor hits ninth for the Dodgers. So there's the lineups, Dan. You got I don't know. Does that tell you anything? You think the Dodgers can hit enough to get a win today?
They need to. You know, and I was kind of surprised last night that they only put up the one run. think, I believe it was Kiki, because I turned the game on and it was, you know, I think it was that fifth or sixth inning possibly. And, you know, the Dodgers are still down by one. And it's 1 point, so you're kind of hopeful, right? So I'm checking and watching it, and then not sure where I lost it. But then, you know, somewhere I put my daughter down to sleep, and then come to find out they lost, you know, the loss. So it was kind of disappointing, to be honest. I think, you know, for the Dodgers, Dodger fans, whatever, you know, that first game is kind of important, isn't it? Kind of set the tone.
Yeah, you know, and to be, you know, fair, you know, neither team really hit. The Dodgers got four hits. And, yeah, it was Kiki who hit the solo shot to tie the game in the fifth. You know, the Braves themselves, you know, they ended up with eight hits, but, you know, they had three of them against Blake Tryon, who just, you know, couldn't get anybody out. He lasted a third of an inning, three hits, three runs, and gave up the, you know, the big home run to Austin Riley, which in essence put the game away because, you know, it was 1-1 at the time there, and you add those three runs, and, you know, the way everybody's pitching, it's over, you know, the one big hit. You know, and they did add another, I believe, was it, Ozzie Albies did then end up homering off Jake McGee just to add one more run to make it, you know, 5-1. But yeah, it wasn't a huge offensive game there until, you know, the top of the ninth when everything got rolling. So I don't know if we'll see more of that, or do you think maybe it was, you know, was it nerves or poor relief pitching? Because obviously I was long asleep by the time the ninth inning rolled around. You know, I know you didn't see it, but did you watch highlights or anything? You know what kind of contributed to it?
You know, if my memory serves, I think I just turned it off. one of the home runs that he gave up. So it definitely, I think it's the nerves. I mean, you know, Trenin, however you say his name, I'm bad with that one. You know, I just don't think he had the experience coming from Oakland. You know, Oakland's always been kind of in the mix and fighting, but they've never got to this point. And, you know, coming into this season, I'm sure Blake didn't think about anything other than, you know, he's in the setup role, and he'll be backing up Kenley Jansen, where that's no longer the case. And, you know, you're with the Dodgers, a team that's been going to the playoffs since roughly, what, the last 7-8 years consistently. And I think, what, the last 3 to 5 years to the ALC or the NLCS. And now you just went from, you know, kind of being a contributor to everything's on your shoulders for game one. And, yeah, I think he tried to compose himself, but I think it could have been the nerves, you know. I don't think he's – you never know with Dave Roberts in the front office, but you've got to imagine if that situation comes about tonight. I don't think they'll be putting him in, you know, 1-1, 1-0, close game tonight. And, you know, I'm not going to say that he's not going to get that chance again. I just don't think it'll happen tonight.
Yeah, you know, and obviously I think it affected the Dodgers a little bit that, you know, they only got 5 innings out of Walker Buehler, and I mean his pitch count was really, you know, was really through the roof. You know, he ended up walking 5 guys. He did strike out 7, but he walked 5 guys in, you know, just 5 innings of work. So it was definitely, you know, a struggle for him there. And, you know, I think, you know, what people may just be overlooking just a little bit is the fact that the Braves have a fantastic bullpen. You know, I mean, last night to shut the Dodgers down, they got 6 innings out of Max Fried. Then they ran out Chris Martin, Will Smith, and Mark Melancon. So they, you know, they definitely had a, you know, a very big lockdown type of, you know, type of bullpen there. So it's, you know, you really need to get to that starter. And, you know, Max Fried obviously has been very good. You know, and I mean, you know, last night was no different. He worked through six innings. You know, the four hits, the one run, which was just the homer to Kiki. He had nine strikeouts to go with two walks. You know, they took him out at 96 pitches. If it wouldn't have been a one-run game, he probably would have went back out for the seventh. Or a 1-1 game, I should enunciate that. So, yeah, I think if the Dodgers are going to win games, they're going to have to get to the Braves starter, don't you?
Yeah. Do you kind of feel like it was – it's only game one. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm looking too deep into it. But, I mean, the way you're describing it and the way you're talking about it, I feel like when we had this discussion about what we expected from this series, it was the complete opposite. So, I mean, it's I don't want to say funny, but it's kind of funny how, you know, what our perception was coming into this, it completely changed things around now. And, you know, the Dodgers are kind of looking like the underdog, especially with the fact that Kershaw was scratched tonight.
Yeah, it was definitely the minute Kershaw loses that, you know, the start there, this entire thing changes. You know, like, and you can even look, I mean, if you were to look at the betting line, the Dodgers were a really big favorite until the announcement was made that Kershaw wasn't going to be starting. You know, and then once that happened, the line completely switched and Atlanta went from being the underdog to the favorite. So, you know, I mean, you almost, you know, you know, if you bet the game early, you could be in a little trouble because you probably picked the Dodgers and gave away, you know, a run or a half a run or something. So, you know, it's kind of strange, and that's how these things go. And I know they said they're hoping that Kershaw is healthy enough to return for game four. But, you know, if he comes back in game four, Dan, and they're down 3-0, does it matter at that point? I mean, you know, I know teams have done it, but that's a big hill to get over.
It's a huge hill. And, you know, this is one of those where I don't remember this happening in baseball. You know, not to say that it can't happen, but, you know, going down, you know, when we watch the playoffs, you know, yeah, at the former rounds, the former setup, you know, the wild card team has had the opportunity, and, you know, we've seen the Giants and the Royals do it, where they took off from the wild card and went to the World Series, you know, whether win or lose, you know, they made it. This scenario is a little bit more prevalent in hockey, I feel like, because that game is just wild. You know, I think hockey is one of the ones you really can't predict, kind of like baseball, you know, unlike the NBA. you know, a quick stab in there. Why did the Heat win 2 games? Was that LeBron's punishment for walking off the court too early? In the
first
play? I'm just throwing it out there. So, you know, that's one of those things, like you said, if he comes back and he's pitching in game four and it's already 3-0 Braves, I mean, you would need Clayton Kershaw to go 12 innings. You know what I mean? To really, you know, give back, you know, kind of swing things back. I'm not counting this team out. I think they're definitely more comfortable, you know, in this playoff setting. They proved it in the last series. But, I mean, Atlanta has that surprise factor. And I think, for me, I'm surprised they made it this far, to be honest. And I'm not knocking the talent on that team. I just didn't think they were ready for it. You know, I knew if you kind of compare, you know, who can you compare them to? And I would say the White Sox, in a sense. And while the White Sox, I think, still have a little bit more work to do, and, you know, they're going to be a championship team now that they get a new hotshot manager next season.
Yeah.
Instead of rolling with the guy who brought you to the show. Just saying, you know, I kind of felt like the Braves are definitely a step ahead of the White Sox, but weren't at the step, the level that maybe the Dodgers are. So they are a surprise, and I think that's the huge factor that comes into play. And, you know, will they continue to be a surprise? And I don't think they can sweep the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are too good for that. But, you know, the Angels and the Nationals were too good to be swept in 2014. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they were swept in the wild card round, being the two number one teams. So, I mean, anything.
You know, the other interesting thing with this Kershaw deal is, you know, okay, even if he makes the game four start, and I know that Julio Urias is penciled in to start tomorrow, and then they're hoping for Kershaw for game four, you know, Dan, with the schedule, there's no off days. With the back problems, would they even consider bringing him back for a game seven? You know, if they got there, because that could be, you know, hey, great, Clayton Kershaw goes out and wins game seven, but then we can't use him in the World Series because his back acted up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I, you know, it's just such a, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of what ifs there because the Dodgers are going to have to win some games, and there's no saying they can't win today's game. I mean, you know, Tony Gosselin can go out and give them five or six innings, and then their bullpen has a lot of solid veteran pitchers as well. They just weren't very good last night. So, you know, you hope for different results today. But if it does happen to be 3-0 and Kershaw wins game four, you know, game, you know, and then they find a way to win game five with Walker Buehler, which is completely possible. You know, they catch a break in game six and, you know, everything goes their way and you get to game seven and you're going, man, you know, Clayton's only on 3 days rest. Do they take the chance to run him out there to go to the World Series? You know, do you want to be the guy that says, oh, yeah, let's run him out there in game seven, and then he gets hurt, and you even if you win, you can't use him for the World Series?
Yeah. You just brought up a huge dilemma. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, a lot will depend on how these next couple games go, and you know, all that. I mean, there's no guarantee the Dodgers will be down 3-0 going into that game four. Hell, for all we know, they could be up 2-1. So, you know, you'll have to see how it plays out. But there was another kind of big baseball story, Dan, that not too many people talked about this, and I know we're all caught up in the playoffs, but I thought this was just kind of a big deal because of the person it involved. And I don't know if you saw this, Dan, but there's a company called Red Ball Acquisitions Corporation that is in the process to try to take over a 25% ownership stake in the Boston Red Sox. And now I know it's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. This kind of stuff happens all the time. The only interesting thing to this, Dan, is the co-chair of this Red Ball Acquisitions is Billy Beane, who happens to be the A's executive vice president of baseball operations and actually owns 1% of the Oakland A's. So if this merger happens, Dan, it looks like for the first time in about, I thought it was 30 or 35 years, there'll be somebody else running the A's, and we won't be able to talk about Moneyball anymore. So I thought that was kind of a big deal. Did you hear or see, you know, I mean, I know you're a big-time, you know, business and acquisition guy. Did you look into this at all or hear anything about this?
No, I haven't seen that. And it kind of makes you you just wonder, you know, leaves me thought, you know, speechless. Kind of, what is Billy Beane's motive? You know.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously, it's a moneymaker. You know, the Red Sox are a moneymaker. You know, and it does hear the article I saw earlier, and this one actually confirms it. It says that Bean would actually step away from baseball front offices. You know, obviously he would have to leave the A's. He wouldn't go to work for the Red Sox. What they actually say he would do was he would pursue a position with a European soccer club. And the group actually owns an English club called Barnsley FC. So it looks like if this merger, or this buy-in or whatever you look at it as happens, Billy Bean will be completely out of baseball, which I think is kind of sad. But he's been in for a long time, and, you know, maybe he's just looking for a new challenge.
Or he's trying to get this group to, you've got to imagine, you've got to wonder, though, if they're just owning percentages, can they monopolize on it and get a percentage of every team?
I guess you do wonder if maybe this could be the start of a buyout, you know, where they would actually end up owning the Red Sox, and, you know, this is kind of how they get in. But there hasn't been any mention of that yet.
No, and it's just kind of odd. I just mean because, you know, he had the opportunity to take that position that Theo had, and he declined it.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, how does that all fit into that? And why would you – I guess it's time to get out of the front office, right?
Yeah, I guess it, you know, depends how you look at it. You know, like I said, he's been there a long time. You know, I mean, again, you know, you're looking at a guy who's been in the A's organization for, I saw it yesterday, and it was either 30 or 35 years. And, you know, generally these guys don't last that long. And, you know, he's had, you know, when you look at his record, he, you know, while they haven't won a World Series, he's had really good success with one of the cheapest owners in the game. You know, I mean, if you look back, I think the only big money guy they ever signed was Cespedes, and that was a huge shock. You know, otherwise they've been going out using, you know, Bean's technique that was really developed by, I can't remember who the other guy was. I've only seen the movie 18,000 times. I think it's Pete something or other, but you know they use that to manage to build a winner, you know, which became the Moneyball principle. So I would be interested to know if the A's would continue along that line, and you know they're technically kind of like the Cubs. Their general manager is somebody by the name of David Forst, which I honestly didn't even know. Did you know the A's had a general manager?
No.
So, you know, it's kind of like Chicago where Jed Hoyer is really the general manager, but Theo makes all the baseball decisions pretty much. This is still in the, you know, they're still negotiating. So, you know, nothing, you know, there's a chance it could fall apart like some of these things do, but yeah, you just kind of wonder how the team would look and, you know, would they try something else if Bean is actually to leave?
I honestly have to look more into this, but what I can tell you so far is that the most interesting thing I find about it, Red Ball Acquisition Corp. is on the New York Stock Exchange. And I love how they use the word this. They are a new blank check company incorporated as a Cayman Islands exempted company. So, you know, while we may pursue an acquisition opportunity in any industry or sector so they can, you know, they can do anything basically, we intend to focus on the business and sports, media, and of course, Big Jack, you have to include the data analytics sectors. With a focus on professional sports franchises, which complement our management team's expertise and will benefit from our strategic hands-on operational leadership. So, it's a bunch of rich guys who are trying not to pay taxes in the U.S.
So should we try to
move? I don't think we can, you know. We're talking about their sponsor is Redbird Capital Partners, and they have over $4 billion in assets. So, you know, Red Ball, whatever, is, I guess, kind of like a subsidiary.
Yeah.
But
if they're on the stock exchange, right, they're publicly traded, you and I could buy stock, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I know a day trader now. Maybe he could hook us up.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because they're talking about John Henry, the Red Sox owner, merging Fenway Sports Group with the Red Ball Acquisition Corp. So it's kind of confusing.
So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, I was just kind of looking at it more of how the A's would look without Billy Beane, but there's a whole business side to it as well. And, you know, I mean, I guess if you're going, if you can buy into a baseball team, you would want it to be the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, or the Red Sox, you know, because those are the four teams that seem to always are guaranteed to make money, right?
Yeah. you know, and it's funny because the guy that, you know, you don't want anything to do with the Oakland A's. You don't want to lose money, balance out your portfolio better.
I mean, to be fair, if I could afford just 1% of any team, I wouldn't care which one it was, then I would tell everybody that I was part owner of that team. But, you know, that's never going to happen. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like the Patrick Mahomes deal. Everyone just, you know, just – I get it. It's a cool thing. I'm not going to knock it at all. But everyone's like – you know, I think when they heard that he was part of the group, they're like, oh, you know, Patrick Mahomes just takes off the helmet and walks across the street and goes and sits in the front office and makes, you know, we should trade this guy for that guy. You know, it doesn't work that way.
So, but it sounds good. You know, that's the important thing.
Yeah. No, but I mean, this is definitely Big Jack, like you said, something I'm totally interested in and will, you know, look more into it and try to get an understanding of what this Red Ball and Bird is and all that good stuff. It's interesting. You know, for
my their worst,
you know,
my money.
Well, you know, and the thing about it though is, you know, John Henry would only be giving up 25% of his team. And, you know, with Red Bird Ball being publicly traded, you know, I highly doubt that they'll ever get 100% of any team. So, you know, because then you'd have to show everything. Here now, they could just continue to do what they do and funnel their money through the Caribbean.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, like you said, being the fact that it's funneled through the Caribbean, it's a gigantic tax shelter. So, you know, you can kind of see the writing on the wall there with that. So,
yeah, allegedly,
you know,
right, Big Jack? Allegedly.
Yeah.
So you've got to wonder, why does John Henry want to – so from what I read, and it was very short from MLB, CBS, you know, he would give up 25% of his stake, but that's not a controlling stake, and he would still, you know, have ownership. And so it seems to me he's trying to generate some money. And how much of this COVID had an effect on it? How much of the fact that they just throw around $30 million a year contracts? You know, what did the Red Sox do? And is this a direct result of what? I wanted to blame it on Theo, but Theo was not about big contracts. He was about draft picks.
Yeah, well, you know, because, I mean, if you looked at it, you know, obviously every baseball team lost money this year. You know, there's just no way around it. You know, with the COVID-19 situation, it was just, you know, impossible for these guys to make any kind of money. So, you know, this may be a way for him to, kind of regain some of that.
Yeah, it's in that realm. I mean, it is very interesting, and you know, kind of having a better understanding of the whys would make things a little bit more. But again, this is in the early stages, and I don't understand the approval process or anything because it's not a publicly traded company, so they don't have to. Well, you know, I mean, these stuff is do your taxes and, you know, mess with the SEC. Once you kind of, you know, to make things interesting, how it affects everything, every aspect, because you would start to change everything. And then what happens,
yeah.
You know, boardroom stuff, you know, kind of like we have going on with, you know, Democrats trying to impose that rule about incompetence of a president. You know, is that a move that they can make on John Henry when he's not making the right decisions that they seem to value more? And obviously that would be based on analytics.
Wait, you said boardroom stuff. Does that mean Derek Rose will be there?
Yes, he will. And his knees will be perfectly fine.
Okay, good. So, all right. Well, now you mentioned yesterday you wanted to talk fantasy football. It looks like I am going to split my weeks in our league because I think I played a dead team in one of the leagues and my other team just had a horrendous week. And oddly with the game cancellation and all my COVID guys, Dan, I went in on Sunday morning and had to take four starters out. So I'm not surprised I'm getting my brains kicked in this one league. But you know, how are you doing that you were kind of excited to talk about this? Because you said you were on the brink with one team.
Well, the auction league, I'm going to improve to 5-0 and maintain my big spot at the top. The only thing that was upsetting was I forgot to bring Young Ho back in, and he scored 14 points. So I could have really dominated the team I'm up against, which I think is another dead team too, because he's got his entire defense didn't play. So I think I am Gruden is you know, write that one down, Big Jack, put it in your memory bank, whatever you got to do. He's gone for 2020, but the Port Shop Express. That is my auction, my fantasy, or my I'm talking fantasy, my snake league team, and you know that's the one where I've had nothing but trouble with quarterbacks. Finally got Garoppolo back, and you know he at least, well no, he did worse than Brian Hoyer did last year. He got negative 4 points. So yeah, you know, and my wide receiver is out for Buffalo tonight. I am down. It's right now it's 93.32 to 94.61. And he has no players left to go. Buffalo's still playing tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I need Singletary, not Mike. I need the running back to at least, you know, score a touchdown just so I could win this week.
You just need a couple yards out of him to win.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that's the team that just, you know, the first 2 weeks, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm doing pretty well. Going to continue to fight. Going to win. And then, you know, Tyrod Taylor goes down. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. I go after, you know, I kind of flip the coin, and I'm like, who do I go after, Nick Foles or Blake Bortles? I pick Bortles, and Foles is the one who gets into the game. So, you know, in our league, even if you don't need it, starting, damn it. You know, in our leagues, even if you don't, you have three quarterbacks, you found a starting quarterback, you're just going to pick them up for the hell of it. That's one of the reasons. The only thing I don't like about our league, our guys are just so quarterback hungry. You kind of get that way too with some of these guys. I mean, there's been guys that I've seen draft 4 quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, there's always such weird stuff that happens during our drafts. It's like, wait, why are we picking this guy? What the hell is going on here? So it, you know, I'm never surprised, but yeah, you know, and that's one thing I always try to do is I try to make sure I get two solid starters. You know, like obviously my backup doesn't have to be a big stud, but I kind of want to get a guy that's going to start unless he's hurt.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and, you know, the one in the auction league, the way it was looking, I thought that Matt Ryan was just going to continue to light things up. And
so did I.
The last 2 weeks, I don't think he's gotten more than five.
Yeah, well, you know, he stopped throwing touchdown passes, and that killed.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, luckily, you know, this week, holy cow, this week, you know, I'm going to sit him and put in Minshew, and you know what's going to happen. Matt Ryan's going to throw, like, 12 touchdown passes.
Yeah, that's what always happens, right? But, yeah,
so,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
You know, I'm just kind of hanging. I'm hoping I can stay close enough in, I believe it's the auction league or whichever league I think it's the auction league. This is the snake league. Until I can get my injury and my COVID guys back, because then I'll be okay. I just kind of need to get to that point. And, you know, the sad part is, like, you know, I grabbed A.J. Green and I got him what I thought was kind of late because I thought he was going to be a steal. I thought, you know, new quarterback, he'll be okay. Boy, is he stunk. I was just like, you know, I'm going to, you know, that's the other thing I need. I need to get some guys back so I can bench him because I don't need to be playing him. So I'm just kind of like, come on, let's guys go. So.
But yeah, I mean, it's this one, you know, with the Snake League, it's nothing, you know, there's nothing I did or can do to change things, obviously. You know, when you get injuries and things like that, it knocks you off. Snake League, you know, but both leagues, I felt I had one of my better drafts over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's showing in the auction league. Hopefully I could sit pretty up top. You know, I don't care. I don't really care about a win streak, you know, but if I can at least get eight, nine wins, I think that'll – eight wins, right? Because we're 14 weeks to the playoffs. I don't know. I feel like eight wins would hopefully at least keep me in the running for playoffs. And then, you know, if it's kind of going the way I've been going, I'm definitely hoping that I get – I feel like I can get 10 wins this season. The Snake League, I think it's just, you know, flip of the coin. It all depends on who I'm up against. But it's just, you know, it's amazing how – we're only a few weeks in. I'm 2-2, soon to be, you know, 3-2. But yeah, I'm at the bottom. I was like, I think I'm 15th place right now.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, in the auction league, I'll be 4-1 after this week. And, you know, like, I actually have three guys playing tonight, and I've already won my match. The guy can't score enough points to catch me. So I'm, you know, I'm okay there, but yeah, you know, and it's the Snake League, I just seem to be, I need to get healthy. You know, I mean, I had the first pick and obviously, you know, I lost McCaffrey. I heard some talk that he may be back next week. So I'm a week or two away from getting him back. You know, then I had Cam Newton who was putting up points and he got COVID. Mm-hmm. And then I had Corey Davis, who was off to a really good start at wide receiver, and he got COVID. So I'm just kind of like, the hell is going on with this team? And then I just got Le'Veon Bell back off of IR. You know, I got him back last week, so at least that was a plus. But, yeah, I mean, that team was rolling until I started getting hurt. I was like, what's going on? You guys are killing me. So I just think if I can manage to get healthy and – you know, I always laugh because, you know, I'll always look at, you know, hey, here's the hot pickups for this week. So I'll click it on and I'll look at it, and every single guy that's a hot pickup has been drafted in our leagues because it's 20 teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys, and again, these guys talk about, oh, yeah, we're, you know, fantasy experts and all this. And it's like, you're not a fantasy expert in a 20-team league because you are no help to me or anybody else in my league. So.
No, and, you know, one of the interesting, like, Sunday night was a good one. I, you know, with the Bears playing Thursday night and driving my wife nuts, she did the old, come on, Ansley, let's go in your room and watch TV. Like, it's, you know, one time. Like, take it easy. Not watching football on Sunday, you know. Well, plus we don't have CBS, so I think there was only one Fox game on Sunday. And I'll be honest with Jack, I turned it on. I think it was at halftime or something, so I turned on the race. I was like, oh, Boyer's in fourth. And then I was laying there, and then I woke up by my daughter hovering over me, and it was like 5:30. So I missed everything. So, but, you know, coming into Sunday night, you know, and it's funny, being a fan of the Vikings too, which I'm not supposed to, it's illegal here in Chicago. You know, I was excited to get in at one of their games, which I had to watch on my iPad, whatever. So, you know, and then the night goes on, and it's the fourth quarter, and, you know, yeah, I would like to see the Vikings win, but, you know, it was one of those where I had guys from both sides, so I was rooting against both teams and for both teams. It's just,
yeah.
You know, I think you saw, I don't know if you saw my tweet, you know, Adam Thielen scored some points. That's all that mattered to me. I didn't care less. Vikings win. I mean, they're in crap position now anyway, so you might as well tank the team, right, get the good draft pick next year. You know, so Thielen got me some points, but the thing that would just kill me, Big Jack, was just the fact that, of all nights, Lockett couldn't lock it in his hands, for no pun intended. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching it. I'm supposed to be rooting against your Seahawks, you know, for the fact that it's your team and going up against the Vikings. And but then I'm sitting there going, yeah, no, that's the wrong receiver. You know, I was getting so mad that it wasn't, and then Lockett drops one. You know, I'm like, you're killing me, dude. That could have been you. You could have been in the end zone. We could have got a bunch of points. And I thought it was funny because, you know, earlier in one of the games, I don't know if it was Thursday night or, you know, somewhere on Sunday, I like the fact that the broadcasters are starting to acknowledge fantasy. You know, they were talking about some kind of injury, and he just made the joke. You know, he's like, oh, man, that's going to upset a lot of fantasy guys. And I'm not saying that they've got to go all out and start putting together fantasy, you know, breakdowns in the middle of the game and this and that. But, you know, you've got Terry and the old guys early, and it gives you the break. You know, they do a great job, but, you know, things have shifted, and it's not all about the gambling. And, well, I know if you want to put it together, fantasy is in that realm. But don't you feel like it's time for the NFL, or maybe not, I don't know, you know, the NFL, but Fox and those guys to start, I don't want to say catering, but just start adding more of that stuff into there. You know, because, I mean, I think everyone's entertaining that's on the pregame show for Fox, but I'm not watching them like I would watch, you know, Shaq and Prue during a halftime on the NBA. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
what are
no,
your
you
thoughts
know,
on that?
You know, there's with the way fantasy has exploded, you know, and now especially daily fantasy being such a big thing, there's no reason that it should be incorporated or it couldn't be incorporated. You know, it just can they find the time, you know, because obviously, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network has a whole show dedicated to it on Sundays, you know, Fantasy Football Now or whatever they called. And even though I listened to them 2 weeks ago and they gave me some horrible advice, you know, they have their own setup. So, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, well, here we go. We'll see. And I know before the CBS coverage starts, they actually, on their sports network, they have a, well, I guess it would be a pre-show that they call TOP, which stands for the other pre-game show. And they do fantasy segments for every position. You know, like they'll be talking about a position, and then they'll go, well, let's go to, and I can't remember the nice guy's name, but it's like, let's go to so-and-so for the fantasy aspect. And then he'll give you his thoughts on the fantasy for that position. So, you know, they've worked it in. It just hasn't quite found its way into the actual pregame shows yet. And I'm wondering how close they are to doing that.
Well, and I was kind of under the impression it kind of had something to do with the fact that they're, you know, I don't want to put it on the old guys, but I just don't see Terry Bradshaw and company doing anything fantasy.
No, you know, I mean, when you look at the guys who host the show, and it's not just Fox, you know, CBS has, you know, Bill Cowher and Phil Sims and Tony Gonzalez, and, you know, I don't see any of those guys playing fantasy either. I think Nate Burleson is also part of that crew. So, you know, they're not participating in any fantasy leagues because, you know, they played the game for real and that's, you know, what's important. So, you know, they would obviously have to go out and find a guy that they could work a segment for. And that may be the biggest drawback in trying to do it is finding time to fit that in. You know, because you give them 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, and I mean, I hate to say it, but at that point, more people are probably searching fantasy, wanting to know if this guy's playing or if this guy's starting, than they are paying attention to who Terry, Jimmy, Howie, Michael, you know, Cowher, Sims, and Gonzalez are picking to win the games. You know, because it's a different world now. I mean, when you're betting, you know, your FanDuel, DraftKings, Yahoo, Daily Fantasy money, you need that information. So,
yeah, and I didn't think so much about the picks, and it is kind of fun to make picks along with them, but I don't know. I guess it's still more geared towards gambling, even though it's not. Because Roger Goodell would never allow them to gamble or be involved with – oh, wait, never mind.
Well, you know, to be fair, you know, they have accepted, you know, the daily fantasy leagues as partners. You know, they're sponsor, you know, they're buying ad space, you know, in facilities. And I thought I saw – I think it's the Patriots have a partnership with DraftKings. So, you know, they're allowing this more and more. And, you know, while it is gambling, you know, at least it's what you would call a fuller aspect because, you know, what daily fantasy does or like what you just mentioned with our weekly fantasy, you watched a game you probably wouldn't have watched because you had fantasy guys in it. And that's what they want. They want eyeballs on the TV.
Yeah, and, you know, not to knock generations of missing that, but, you know, you and I talked about it before. You know, I tried one of those gambling websites, and, you know, I don't have any clue. You know, I didn't run numbers and, you know, do any of that stuff. And by the time it, you know, rolled down to my generation, you know, people don't really gamble like they did. Of course, you've got the you know, the football squares, but, you know, it's all in-house. You know, if you have a company like mine that has 30, I think there's like 40 in Chicago, but there's about 300 nationwide. You know, we all get together and buy square. You know, it's not like I'm walking in the office and I got it from a little village down the street and you know, the guy in the suit behind me, Tony, is going to break your legs if you don't pay me. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Gambling is just everything's so different. Where, you know, and the gambling is so legal now, it's centralized, and I feel like unless you were in Vegas, you weren't really getting involved with it, unless you're betting against, you know, a couple of your friends and in a group. I don't know. So I guess I'm just rambling on.
Well, no, hell, you know, now you can, you know, you can bet on everything. I mean, if you're online for like an NFL game, you can almost bet from play to play on what a team is going to do. You know, if you're that into it, and I got to be honest with you, I would be frightened to try to do that. You know, like I understand the general aspect, you know, this team is favored by this many points and, you know, that, like the baseball one still confuses me because I don't understand a lot of the plus minus. You know, I get like the over under for how many runs are going to be scored, but I don't know when like if you were picking the Dodgers to win today and you got them at, you know, plus 450 or whatever, I don't know what the hell that means. So, yeah. I don't know what I got there, but, you know, like if you tell me tonight, you know, the Bills are favored by, you know, 2.5 points against the Titans, I get it that if I bet the Bills, they got to win by a field goal or more. So, that's easy enough. You know, that and like basketball and stuff, but hockey and baseball confuse me because it's just not like plus or minus one run or one goal or whatever. It's like, you know, these weird, you know, plus 400 or 450, 100. Like, what the hell does that mean? You know, the next thing you know, I just lost all my money. So then then I'm stupid.
I don't know. I guess I got to try to look for more of the fantasy show because it is difficult. But then, you know, then I listen to you and it's like, well, everyone I listen to, every new podcast I find, they don't, you know, it's so small team heavy, small league heavy that, you know, I'm like, well, if you can't get help out of it, why the hell would I listen to it?
if you have SiriusXM, they have a fantasy football channel, you know, that they, and it's just focused on football and baseball. They rarely talk basketball or hockey. But, you know, every once in a while I'll listen to them because, you know, you remember, I think I told you the worst year I ever had in our leagues was when I was listening to them regularly and I took their advice. You know, and then the one guy pissed me off because he was fully invested in Mark Ingram, and when the guy sucked, a caller called him out on it and he flat out told the guy he never said that. I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I was listening to you when you said that. So, you know, it was, you know, that just made me kind of think the whole thing was BS. But, you know, occasionally I'll flip it on just to see what they say. But, you know, and they do have some bigger leagues, you know, where they have 20 teams or even more. I remember they have they were covering a draft that was a 30-team draft. So imagine that nightmare. Yeah. So, you know, and it's not as deep as ours where you're picking a whole bunch of bench players because, you know, there's just no guys out there. And it's what they call a dynasty league where you keep your team from year to year. So, but, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, so, like, that's cool to listen to when it gets to the later rounds, you know, because then they've got to find those steals, those kind of guys. But, you know, a lot of it, it's, you know, like, 10, 12, even 14 teams, and you're like, hey, great, this doesn't help me. You know, cause I was trying to remember what I saw last week about supposed to be a big tight end steal, and it might actually have been Jimmy Graham. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Graham's the guy to play. He's hugely underrated. Like, what do you – you know, and it was the Mickey Mouse Network, and he's available in – you know, 50% of the Mickey Mouse Network league. And I'm like, well, obviously you've got a lot of small leagues because he ain't available in either of ours. So,
yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, unfortunately that's kind of how it goes. But, you know, we're an anomaly because we don't, you know, we play big leagues and we like to play big leagues. We think it's interesting. So,
and it's
you know,
strategic.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's other, fantasy shows out there. I know locally, and I don't know if they still do it, but The Score used to have one. It was one of those really early ones. It was on from like 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 in the morning. On Sunday, they did an hour of fantasy football talk. I don't know if that's still, if they're still doing something like that, but I'm sure.
It's probably a podcast
if you look,
now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and I'm sure there, and we know there's a bazillion podcasts. We've had a couple of guys on. We had the Dollar Lineup guy on years ago who does that. And there's somebody else that I follow on Twitter that does a podcast every Sunday morning just exclusively. And they do like a four-hour podcast just exclusively to give fantasy football advice. So it's, it's definitely, they're definitely out there. Want to hunt them down. But again, I don't know how much help it would be to you if you're in a big league like ours. It's something you'd have to look into.
Yeah, and I was going to say with that 30-team league, I wonder what the odds are that they still finish their draft before yours and Mr. Fantasy's Money League.
Oh, probably. I would guess they finish 90% of the time faster than we do. So, don't even get me started on the guy who took 27 minutes to pick. All right. It's just a nightmare. But yet, remember, they wouldn't move that draft for me because of my work schedule. They moved them for everybody else. But when I couldn't make it because of my work schedule, not because I was on vacation like some guys or, one guy had a family party, which I know you've drafted at. Didn't you draft one extra at, like, your family or something?
A few years ago, I did the NBA draft at a wedding.
Right. That I knew it was something like that. Yeah. If this would have been our money league, they would have moved it for just that guy. But, boy, when it's me, who cares if he can make it? So yeah, I had to go through and email Mr. Fantasy all the guys to try to grab and find, and luckily that team is doing well, but yet they still send me updates in a format I can't open, even though I've emailed them 100 times telling them I can't open this format if they could send me something else. But I'm, again, I just don't matter in this league. So, And then real quick, as we're wrapping up here, we drafted two quarterbacks at the start of the year. We drafted Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers because we wanted to make sure we had two quality guys because we were a little shaky on Brees. For some reason, Mr. Fantasy decided to cut Phillip Rivers for some chump number three receiver on the Bengals. Now Drew Brees is off next week and we don't have a quarterback. I get the text going, hey, we got to find a quarterback. I'm like, no, you mean we got to find a quarterback? We've got two. I go in on our roster and Rivers is gone. I'm like, where the hell did he go? I'm like, you cut him? Like, where the hell did you cut him? I'm like, geez. So yeah, that was what I get to deal with. So,
Well, when you're Mr. Fantasy and you know you need two quarterbacks simply for a bye, does he now just become Mr.?
I don't know what the hell he's become now. The podcast is available anytime you want.